Reading from Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. And also Psalm 85, verse 6. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, August 8th, 2022. And this is one of those times where I'm going to probably talk real fast and be overly excited and jumble up about 13 different things at the same time because I have three dear friends in the studio with me. Bernie Lutchman, who's been on the Mark and Friends program, what, Bernie, three, four, five, six times over the last few years that we've gotten to know each other?
About four or five times.
Four or five times. You have a great radio voice, a heart for the Lord. You're one of those free agents for Jesus that's always doing something for the Lord's glory or helping people know about Jesus. You're a great advocate for the WLUJ family of stations, a big promoter because we broadcast God-honoring, Jesus-honoring programming. So
exactly.
You always want people tuning in, so we appreciate your efforts and the many things, the National Day of Prayer and the Businessmen in Christ and the many different things that you're doing and how you serve. And then Joyce Mankey, our station manager extraordinaire in Springfield, introduce Brad in just a minute, but all of you guys and gals were a part of our Ministry Leaders Network last Thursday, and I focused on Joyce at one point because I was challenging all the pastors and ministry leaders about retirement. I said, Joyce at 79 has stepped into pretty much a pressure-filled job. She doesn't need it. She doesn't need the income. She doesn't need the hassles or aggravations at this point in her life. But she also has a heart for Jesus and proclaiming him and being involved in the ministry. She's served as our office manager in a number of different roles, bookkeeping and such, for many years, 7 or so years with the WLUJ family of stations. But when I introduced her to everyone in the crowd, I said, here's a lady raising the bar for all of us at 79, taking on a position. So I said to the pastors, I said, so don't be looking at retirement in the next few years, you know. And as followers of Jesus, I don't think retirement is ever spoken about. We're always to proclaim him and share our faith. And we appreciate Brad Lovin. He came in last Thursday and was a part of the Ministry Leaders Network. In fact, I interviewed you and Kim Ayers some months back, and I was impressed at the time. In fact, Bernie was singing you praises. Oh, you got to have Brad on. He's passionate for the Lord, and he's serving at the Washington Street Mission, and he's the new executive director, and he's got a unique calling on his life. So as I prayed it up, I thought, I think he would be a really good speaker for the pastors and ministry leaders. And so last Thursday, you spoke on a number of topics, but you were talking about being intentional in life and showing hospitality. And so we'll probably touch on that. And I already know with you three, gosh, I'm kind of talking a lot, right? Well, but we're going to probably have you all back for testimony Tuesday because I want you to share bits and pieces of your faith journey. But Brad, I appreciate what you shared. And it was one of the times when all the pastors and ministry leaders, I think there was over 30 of us, nobody got up when you were done. And I think because you planted some seeds and you encouraged and challenged us to think through the importance of hospitality and being intentional. And these are pastors. These are high capacity leaders. And, you know, you divided God's word. And so we might even touch on that today, too. So we'll see how much time we have between today and tomorrow. But today being Monday, we generally pull out our book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. And we're in chapter 4. And we're thinking about reading three sections. My People Pray for Me, The Unsung Heroes, and The Secret is Out. And I thought with these three friends, these three special guests, that you each could take a portion. So Bernie, we'll start with you reading the section, My People Pray for Me.
Thank you, Mark. And it goes like this. In London in the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon grew what was one of the largest megachurches in the first century with 10,000 attending each week. He also founded a successful college and was a widely read and respected author. When asked the reason for his unusual success, Spurgeon often simply replied, "My people pray for me." Another writer noted that part of the secret of Spurgeon's effectiveness that could be traced to the prayers of an illiterate lay brother who sat on the pulpit steps pleading for the success of the sermons.
Now, this is the first time Brad's seen this book, and Brad, I'm going to give you this copy because this is just a profound book in my life, and anyone that I can encourage to read it and study it, but all of you are maybe seeing this for the first time, and thank you, Bernie, but I think we all know the importance of prayer as followers of Jesus involved in ministry, and I've been sharing with our listeners the last few weeks, actually the last few months, but the importance of prayer and how we covet, how we appreciate, how we really need people praying for us. And I'm sure, Brad, as we talk more about the Washington Street Mission there in Springfield, you could testify the importance of people praying for you and praying for the ministry and those that daily pray for WLUJ and Great News Radio.
Right.
God works through those prayers in unique ways. And yeah, Charles Spurgeon, we've heard about like his great successes, but when you learn behind the scenes, and we'll read about that a little later, it's those people that are praying, faithfully praying. And Joyce, you know about this too with your prayer ministry. There's some people that are shut in, that can't get out, and they feel like, well, what can I really do? And yet their prayers get to be answered around the world or even in our local community of Springfield or Champaign-Urbana because that person is petitioning God, interceding on behalf of a ministry. So we're all about prayer, and we would pray that as you hear us read these next couple sections, that you'll engage in prayer and maybe even stop by the Springfield studio or our Champaign studio and pick up a copy of this book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early.
I tell you what, I run the prayer ministry at the Iron Sharpens Iron Men's Conference since 2007, and we have people, including myself, we pray over the entire building, every inch of the building, chairs, classrooms, and everything. And all through the conference, we have a separate room with intercessors, men and women. Paul and Carolyn Eastwell are part of that group. Mm-hmm. And they pray all day long for the conference. And we've had so many victories in that prayer room because we have people come back the next year and tell us what happened last year and how the Lord had worked in their lives because they came in here and we prayed over them. So this is not just paper and ink on a piece of paper.
Right.
This is real life, and again, the Holy Spirit works through all these things.
I love when I hear pastors testify to, they get to the church early on a Sunday morning and they'll go through all the aisles or the pews and some will touch, you know, physically touch the pews or the chairs and pray that God will have his way or work through the message, and just their intentionality of, Lord, if you don't show up, my words are worthless in a sense.
Amen.
But yeah, so the power of prayer.
The next session is on the unsung heroes. I have often read with amazement the accounts of the mighty revivals under Charles Finney from 1792 to 1875. The entire town was stirred by the winds of his revival. It was said that 80% of those converted in his meetings stood the test of time. Often the presence and power of God was so intense in the communities he visited in central New York that people either repented or died.
Hmm.
For example, one time the presence of God was so intense an entire mill was shut down with people weeping without Finney even speaking a word. A total of 3,000 people were converted in that small town. The unusual effectiveness of Charles Finney's ministry can be traced back to an unsung gallery of prayer partners.
Hmm.
The two most notable were Abel Carey and Daniel, or Father Nash. Often they went a few days ahead of Finney to pray. And they prayed with Finney in the daytime after he arrived, and usually interceded for him elsewhere during the meeting in the evening. Nash, from 1763 to 1837.
Bernie, did you know Nash?
Yeah.
From those dates?
Yeah, we were in grade school together. Yeah.
Who retired from the pastorate at age 48 in order to give himself totally to prayer for Finney's meetings, would often go quietly into town 3 or 4 weeks in advance of a meeting. There he might gather 3 or 4 other Christians with him. In a rented room, they'd start praying and crying out for revival. Of Daniel Nash, Finney later wrote, "When I got to town to start a revival, a lady contacted me who ran a boarding house, and she said, 'Brother Finney, do you know a Father Nash? He and 2 other men have been at my boarding house for the last 3 days, but they haven't eaten a bite of food.' I opened the door and peeked in at them because I could hear them groaning, and I saw them down on their faces. They'd been this way for 3 days, laying prostrate on the floor and groaning. I thought something awful must have happened to them. I was afraid to go in, and I didn't know what to do. Would you please come and see about them? No, it isn't necessary, I replied. They just have a spirit of travail in their prayer.
Mm.
It's important to note that shortly after Nash's death, Feeney retired from the taxing task of leading revivals.
Hmm. And it's so interesting, this passage that we're reading today, last Thursday night, and I can't say too much about it yet, but a number of us gathered passionately praying for God to reveal His will and His plans for the greater Champaign-Urbana area, or for that matter, for our listening area, as a number of us are really seeking the Lord to see what He might have in mind, whether it's an event or a gathering or an ongoing meeting of prayer or evangelism or bringing about revival. We didn't want to kind of set any course until we had completely prayed it through and continue to pray it through. But last Thursday night was the first of hopefully many gatherings of some people that want to see God at work. I mean, He's always at work. He's always desiring us to save souls and reach lives and bring healing and hope and lift high the name of Jesus and proclaim His word. But we're just trying to sense how we might do that through an event or through distributing Bibles or going into the community or the hospitality that Brad talks so much about, where if just a number of families had a neighbor, even if it was just once a month or once a week, into their home and all the things that could begin to happen, extending Christ's love to people. And so we began that, but I've been reading about these many revivals over the years and how they always started because a core group started praying. Sometimes it was just a couple people praying and then more and more people, but some of the great works of God have been accomplished through the prayers of a handful or maybe 100 people that prayed before the pastor delivered his message each Sunday. So
I tell you what, there's many Father Nashes in Springfield, mm-hmm. and the people, that you wouldn't know them. They're humble, very quiet behind the scenes. We do a lot of ministry, speaking from my angle, and nothing is done without prayer. And there's certain people I can call on day or night, middle of the night, 4 a.m, and they would go to the Lord and pray about a certain, well, no matter what the problem is, what the event is, whatever we're doing. And it usually, I mean, God usually shows up and takes care of business.
Mm-hmm. And Joyce, you can maybe address this a little bit. And that's one of the strengths I feel that the WLUJ family of stations has, is that prayer team that meets once a week. And we have Michael helping coordinate and talk with people. And you help oversee that, where people submit prayers or send them in through the mail. And we have that prayer team and we record them and pray over them. And then people meet. And then Michael does some great follow-up. But you've had a real passion for prayer these many years, these short 79 years that you've been on the earth. We're praying for a bunch more years. But talk a little bit about that prayer ministry and your heart for prayer.
Well, I do have a heart for prayer. You know, I can't imagine living with my husband all my life and not talking to him. And so it's so important that we communicate with God. That's what it's all about. And I am so thankful that God sent Michael our way. He's got this little 8-year-old son, Benjamin, and he is a prayer warrior. I can't even begin to pray like that little guy does. And I'm just so thankful for him. And we never have a day when he's there that we don't stop and pray. And, you know, I just want us to all pray that God would lead us. And he does. And I've prayed this prayer many times before. Lead me to a person today that don't know you so I can minister to them. And just give a quick example, because Brad has been talking about the homeless. I went out to lunch one day, and there was a homeless man at a red light on the street. And I kept praying that the light would hurry up and turn so I could go, because I didn't want to sit there and face him with a sign. And that light just didn't change. And so I rolled down my window and I said, meet me at Burger King. And so he did. And when we got there, I said, I'm going to buy you food, but we have to talk about the spiritual side of it first. And so we talked about the spiritual food, and I gave him the plan of salvation, and we prayed, and I bought him food, and I left. But I just think that is so important, to love people as Christ loved them. And if we don't show it, they'll never see it, and they'll never know. So,
Amen. And that little Benjamin James DeHaan, I think.
He is so precious.
We had him on the air when I interviewed Michael some months back, and he's really, we're not kidding, he's a little 8-year-old prayer warrior. And just a little gem, and you sent me a little private email, Joyce, about this little Benjamin and how he brought some healthy conviction. Look how the Lord is using this 8-year-old. And you're a prayer warrior. You passionately sought God and served him for many years, and yet God's using this little 8-year-old to bring healthy insights into you. And so we look for great things for Benjamin James and his dad, Michael, is modeling Christ and doing a great job in mentoring his own little son.
He stood by my desk and he says, "I'm just so thankful for WOUJ and that we can spread the word, and thankful for the Holy Spirit that directs us." And when he got done, I just, it's like, oh my goodness, all the way home, I'm thinking, "Lord, teach me." You know, help me to be a better prayer warrior.
Well, we have one more section. This is in chapter 4 of our book, Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at wluj.org, wluj.org, also at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, under the Mark and Friends link. And we do hope, as we talk about prayer and read excerpts from this book, that it will encourage you in your relationship with God, as Joyce has said. If you were married to somebody and you're in love with them, you want to talk with them and hear from them and communicate with them. And it's no different with this loving God that delights in hearing your words. And you might say, "But I don't have the smoothest, best language, or I don't know how to communicate." Hey, if your 3-year-old ran up to you and they were saying gibberish things, you wouldn't turn them away, would you? No, of course not. Well, don't worry. God's that same way. He loves and delights in you, no matter how well you can communicate or put your sentences together or whatever. Bernie, you and I know things come out of our mouths. Sometimes it's maybe not the most pleasant or pleasing, or the sentence structure isn't always the best, but God sees our heart and our desire to talk to him, and that's how he is with your prayers this very day. So please draw near to God and he'll draw near to you.
This final section is titled, "The Secret is Out." As a revivalist, Charles Finney was known for the powerful way God used him to impact entire cities for Christ. He was a passionate practitioner and ardent student of revivals and of the role prayer played in them. In observing the unusual spiritual effectiveness of another pastor, Finney felt he had discovered the secret. "I once knew a minister who had a revival for 14 winters in succession. I did not know how to account for it till I saw one of his members get up in a prayer meeting and make a confession. 'Brethren,' said he, 'I have been long in the habit of praying every Saturday night till after midnight for the descent of the Holy Ghost among us. And now, brethren,' he began to weep, 'I confess that I have neglected it for 2 or 3 weeks. The secret was out. The minister had a praying church."
Amen.
That he could be transparent, because sometimes we have expectations on us, and like a friend will come up, "Did you pray for me?" And you're like, you don't want to really be honest and say, "No, I forgot." I've learned this practice, and I generally almost always do it, because if I don't do it right there and then, it gets lost, it gets forgotten. So almost all the time, if Bernie, you were going to say, "Hey, you know, pray about this situation," I'll say, "Let's pray right now." Right, so that way, at least I know I got one prayer in, because, you know, you can get overwhelmed or so many other things going on in your brain that you just forget. And your intention was to pray. But I would recommend that to everyone. Pray right there and then. And usually nobody refuses that. Even the unchurched people, if you go up to somebody and just say, "Hey, is there anything I can pray for you?" First, they're kind of stunned, but they oftentimes will say, "Well, yeah, I'm have a health issue or a job situation," and just pray right there and then. And make it a short one, friends, especially if they're not a believer. Don't go into one of these long, flowing, you know, "Oh, holy, sovereign, righteous," you know,
all right,
God, you know. But anyways, I've
learned that myself. Right there and then, nothing like the present.
Yeah, it's a great practice, and we encourage that. And I knew that with having 3 friends in the studio, and Brad, you're like my newest friend, but I appreciate what you did last Thursday with the ministry leaders, and I know you got to talk with a number of people that stayed afterwards that wanted to know more about your ministry work. And tomorrow on Testimony Tuesday, we'll get to hear some specifics about the Washington Street Mission in Springfield and some of the things that he challenged our pastors and ministry leaders to think through with hospitality and living intentionally for the Lord, which I think will be appropriate for all of you. So I hope you can join us again tomorrow for Testimony Tuesday, and we'll have you back, see how God uses our life journey to maybe encourage others to share their life journey with their co-workers, with their neighbors, with their friends.
Well, I began the program with Habakkuk 3:2 and Psalm 85:6, which says, "Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?" So I'll close out with a portion of Steve Camp, "Revive Us, O Lord," as that's a desire this ministry has, the Washington Street Mission in Springfield has, and as followers of Jesus, we want God to revive our hearts and soul. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Bernie Lutchman, Joyce Minkey, and Brad Lovin with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
We want gentle voice of heaven, we cease to hear and know the fact that He has risen. Never been disowned.